Electric Vehicle Council has called for a firm deadline for the uptake of electric vehicles with a ban on new petrol and diesel cars by 2035. They said Australia is lagging behind from a promise of clean air and slash in transport emissions from EVs. But environmentalists have raised the tough questions on the cost of mining lithium for the EV batteries, the infrastructure overhaul, and access by low-income Australians. Race Research reporter Thomas Kutis speaks to Professor of Transport Technology and Sustainability, Hussein Dia, at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne to find out more.
This is the time when the Commonwealth or the federal government has set the new targets of emissions reductions, and basically, without putting a ban on new petrol and diesel cars, without them, we won't be able to meet our emission reduction targets. Transport is the fastest growing source of emissions and will soon be our biggest if nothing is done. The way the market has been working through voluntary transitions to electric vehicles has been too slow, and a phase-out date would send a clear signal and helps align the industry, the infrastructure, and consumer decisions together.
I asked this question to someone else in a different interview, but according to the Department of Climate Change, Energy, the Environment and Water, transport is our third largest emitter, contributing to 22% of Australia's emissions. Are you surprised by that?
No, it doesn't. Transport is a key driver of our economy, but Australia has been lagging in terms of decarbonisation, and our fleet is still polluting, whether we're looking at passenger cars or more importantly as well, heavy freight. Our vehicles are still polluting more compared to, you know, international averages. The good news is that Australia this year has introduced the new vehicle efficiency standards, and this encourages the car dealers and importers to bring in more electric vehicles and also more fuel efficient cars. So we, as you mentioned, at 22%, that is quite a chunk of our total emissions, and we need to bring them down.
I understand that EV sales have risen massively, such as in Norway, in Europe, with 98.3% of new cars sold, which is quite a lot. 76% sold in Nepal and 51% sold in China. So it goes to show how popular these cars really are.
Exactly. So the consumers are embracing them. And I think these numbers or figures you mentioned, they did not come out of a vacuum. These countries had comprehensive, holistic strategies in place to, you know, part of industrialization, part of other policies they have to actually, you know, shift from combustion engine vehicles to electrified transport. So Australia has been lagging. In the last few years, there has been some new initiatives. But, I mean, the latest values is that the electric vehicle uptake has accelerated in Australia. It's now making, like, in the last, up to the middle of the year, it was like 12% of new car sales were electric, but that's still very, very well below the pace needed to meet Australia's 2035 emissions targets.
So what do you think is the reason why Australia is slowing down here with EV sales?
Regulations. So for a long time, we have been the dumping ground for highly polluting vehicles. Other nations have had strict standards on the amount of emissions from vehicles. Australia did not have this. Only this year now we have the new vehicle efficiency standards, and car dealers are going to either sell more of the low emission and zero emission vehicles or pay a penalty. And I think this is what other nations have done as well. And it worked because it just gave certainty to car dealers, saying if I, you know, want to maintain my profit stream, etc., I need to provide more of the low emission vehicles, otherwise I'm going to be penalized.
One of the things that I've noticed during this during Australia's transition to going to electric vehicles is supplies and infrastructure. And I've noticed that in Australia we have a bit of a lack of supply when it comes to electric vehicle charging stations. So is this something that we need to sort of consider when we are transitioning to electric vehicles?
Absolutely. For a long time, people were apprehensive. People were apprehensive about the range anxiety, you know, the vehicles not having enough miles or kilometers on them to complete a trip. The car manufacturers have addressed this by putting in larger batteries, and that's helping a little bit. But nowadays, people are starting to talk about queuing anxiety. So when they reach a charging station, especially the public charging stations, there is either a long queue of people waiting ahead of them, or some of the equipment is not functional or not working. So absolutely, we need to put the charging infrastructure out there, and not only in cities. We are now approaching the summer holidays here in Australia, and people do very long road trips. So we need to make sure that in, you know, regional infrastructure is very well developed, and also, you know, between major cities, Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne, that there is sufficient number of chargers, but also variety of chargers, because not everyone wants to go into a charger and top 100%. It's not how we drive our petrol vehicles or diesel vehicles either. You know, we sometimes travel on half a tank, etc. So we need to have a variety. If someone wants to just top up 20%, you know, let's say they only have 1 hour to spare, we're going to need to accommodate this. But there are maybe truck drivers or other vehicles that are running out and they need to, you know, charge up to 80%. So we need to provide these different options. Fast chargers, you know, with moderate charging capacity as well.
Some people say that they're solving the problem here by charging from home. Does that sort of solve that? Well, what do you think?
Fantastic. And for everyday use, this is great. And we've seen some people as well using electricity generated and stored, you know, from their solar systems, which makes it even cheaper to charge. And a lot of people, actually, I think the majority of people for everyday use, they charge at home. But we people travel longer distances as well. And, you know, we have delivery vans going between Melbourne and Ballarat, for example. So, you know, we need to accommodate people who are on the road, already charged maybe, but they need to top up, etc. And also we have another issue, is that not everyone has easy access to charge at home. People living in apartments are having a very difficult time. Either the owners of the buildings are not allowing chargers to be installed inside, or they need to extend a cord to the sidewalk, etc. So it would be great if everyone can charge at home, and this is the cheapest way, but not everyone has access to it. I haven't traveled to Europe for a while, but last year I have a colleague who went there, and he said he was amazed at how the charging infrastructure is everywhere. It is near train stations. It is near playgrounds. It is near or inside shopping centers. We need to have... I think once we see more of this, it gives people more confidence, is that, you know, I'm definitely not going to run out. I have a lot of options available where I can charge.
How are local car manufacturers responding to this 2035 ban?
So around the world, car companies have started to prepare. We have Volkswagen and others who have committed to saying we're not going to sell beyond a certain date any petrol or diesel. You have other car manufacturers who are totally opposed, like Mercedes. In Europe, Germany has been quite vocal and instrumental in watering down some of the targets. So now in Europe, I think it's legislated that by 2035, no zero emission, sorry, no petrol or diesel cars, however, will be sold. However, they made one exception for at the request of Germany, who threatened to veto the decision, is that they're going to allow combustion engine vehicles that run on e-fuels, you know, a certain type of fuel.
What's e-fuel? Is it like normal petrol?
No, e-fuel. So these are either organic, produced from organics, or the e-fuel in particular is one that is produced by renewable energy and hydrogen.
Ah, okay.
But in order to use it, you need a combustion engine. So some car manufacturers are resisting giving up on the combustion engine and going, you know, with electric motors. And what they're saying is that, okay, we're not going to use petrol and diesel. We're going to use e-fuels. But there is a big problem with that. First of all, the e-fuels are very expensive to produce. And we don't have, you know, abundance of renewable energy that we can throw away. And also the biggest issue is the what we call efficiency. For every unit of energy you feed in, you only get 30% of that unit to drive the wheels. But with electricity, for every unit of energy you feed, you get 70% of the energy to drive the wheels. So that is another consideration. So we just need to make sure that the ban is quite strict and it doesn't have any loopholes. In Australia, we have lost all car manufacturing, so we rely on imported vehicles. We have some industries that support, like EV battery recycling, etc., and that's, you know, we need to look after them as well. And I think one thing for your listeners to appreciate as went down the line is that we might reach a stage, you know, 2035, where we don't have a choice but to import electric vehicles, especially if these big car manufacturers decide not to produce them. In that case, if they're not produced overseas, we cannot import them.
Professor of Transport Technology and Sustainability Hussein Dia at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne there, speaking to Racist Edge reporter Thomas Kutis, and ending that interview.